Psalm 129, the Song of Ascents. The editors have titled it Song of Victory over Zion's Enemies. Psalm 129 in the New King James. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. But Jehovah is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of Jehovah be upon you. We bless you in the name of Jehovah. Here in the Songs of Ascents, the tone of the songs have changed. During this one, we see a very big difference. It's been psalms of blessing, psalms of God redeeming his people in their lives up to this point. Well, I guess in that matter, it hasn't changed much. But here we see a different aspect of God protecting and redeeming his people's lives. Because now we're speaking of their lives themselves, not just the quality thereof. Not just providing, but protecting. Here we see, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Now, the general way to look at this that makes the most sense and that works the best is this is a call for a collective looking at the nation of Israel, looking at the people who have tried to destroy the nation as a whole, not just the individuals or the people of the nation. Many times they've afflicted me from my youth. Let the country, let the people of God now say, let the church say. Many a time they've afflicted me from my youth if they have not prevailed against me. And we know the story of all the people through the Old Testament. All the people who've tried to destroy the knowledge of God from earth. And how things went up to the flood. And then again after that, how people rebelled against the knowledge of God and turned to their own imaginings, their own devices, at the time of the flood when God destroyed the earth, most of the people. After that, at the Tower of Babel, when people wouldn't do what they were told and wouldn't spread out and again set up their own towers, their own wisdom. And after that, when God had established the covenant people, his covenant people, the people of Abraham, how the different nations round about, even the brothers of Joseph himself, tried to break down the chosen one, tried to stop, to defeat, to enslave the people of God. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, the people of the church would say, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. Now, children, if you've ever seen a farmer out plowing, this is not a line that an individual could take literally, that somebody really dragged a plow across your back, because you'd be dead. It's just that simple. They can't make plows very long, the furrows on your back, because your back's only about 2.5 feet long. That's not particularly long as farm furrows go. When you look and think of the people around who despised Israel because they held the image of God, they were an accusation against them. Seeing the people of God was an accusation against those who sought to remove God from their mind and their hearts. And how they damaged the country with wars, with fighting, with all sorts of horrible things. The false priests coming in and trying to turn the people away from God. You see the phrase that they plowed on the back and made their furrows long, breaking up the ground and tearing up the integrity of the nation. How this would fit. But the Lord is righteous. Here we see the picture turning. The Lord, Jehovah, is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. People still try to defeat the church. Right now in our country, we see where things are taking a decidedly ugly turn when it comes to public treatment of the people of God. But we know in the past that it's been far worse and has done no good whatsoever to actually destroy the church. In times of trial, it's funny to hear people talk wistfully about trials and being persecuted, because they say it does such great things for the church. It's kind of hard on the individuals. So you may want to be careful about actually praying for persecution for us. But if it comes, then we know that we are the ones that God has chosen to go through this for the betterment of his people, for our children's sake and our grandchildren's. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper doesn't fill a hand, nor one who binds sheaves his arms. The idea of this, children, we really don't see many of it or much of it around here, but they used to make houses, roofs out of dirt and with plants, grass growing on it. And of course, the dirt's only this thick. It's not very deep because there's a house under it. So it dries up and it withers and it goes away. If you've ever seen anybody reaping grain by hand, what they do is they reach out and grab a handful around where the berries, the seeds are, and then cut it off below that and put it in the basket. And they're saying here that the ones who persecute the church won't grow up to the point of continuing on their generation. They'll be destroyed. Their families will not continue. Their nations will be judged. If you've ever watched anybody bind sheaves, and again, in the old days before we had farm equipment, this is how you'd collect hay, is you'd gather an armload of it and cut it off at the ground level, tie it off with a twist made out of other stalks, and pile them in a wagon or a cart and take them back home, stack them up somewhere. They're saying here that they won't be fruitful. Not only not provide further generations, but they won't be worth anything in their own generation either. They'll be destroyed. And that's the promise that God has given for the people who seeks to destroy his church. They may seem to be profitable. They may seem to be prosperous. Notice God doesn't say the grass won't grow at all. He says it springs up and grows and looks rich, but then is ruined, then is defeated. And then the last part of verse 8. Neither let those who pass them say, the blessing of Jehovah be upon you. We bless you in the name of Jehovah. Now, I know your Bible say the Lord, but here it says the name. And so I think it's important to use the covenant name of God when we look at verses like this. It says in the name of Yahweh, we should use his name, whether you use Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, this is a controversial verse. This is one that a lot of people give you trouble over. Many a pastor, many an elder, many a Christian talk about defeating Islam through conversion and bringing people into the church and saving them that way. But you see, God does sometimes use the other alternative. Not to force conversions, obviously that can't work. But sometimes fighting is the answer. Sometimes war is how we stop. Here we have the people saying to the enemies of God, to telling the church, to the enemies of God who are actively trying to destroy the church, don't bless them when they're trying to destroy the name. Now, this is something I want you to be careful to understand. This is talking about the church and the corporate worship, not your personal enemies and not your personal behavior. But praying for this, the destruction of the enemies of Jehovah is not a pre-Christian unchristian thing to do. God does it. God has taught us to do it in certain circumstances to pray for that. So here we have a psalm that's not very uplifting in and of itself. But when you meditate on it and see the history of it, what God has promised to do, it is uplifting in a somber way. It's not a particularly joyful psalm. We see the promises of God to be with his people, even in times of hardship. And that the church, maybe not every Christian, but the church will survive the troubles. And that he will have his vengeance. His vengeance upon sin will be taken, either against the enemies of God or against his son when he does take them to conversion. But God's vengeance will be answered. Now we'll sing this psalm, and it's just Psalm 129. And remember, this is God's word.